And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Say, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded thee. Say, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the age." So we started on that yesterday, right? And we said, when it says go make disciples, we said their background would be what? The local church. Was that what we said? A gathering is intended. Hallelujah. And when it says go make disciples, it means go make students. So we said in Christianity, everyone is a student. Right? So when we say everyone is a student, it then boils down to let you know that Christianity is knowledge based. Right? It's knowledge based. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we said, how will discipleship be carried out? We say it's via teaching. And what will be taught will also involve what? What will be taught will also involve how scriptures are communicated. The didache of scriptures, right? We talked about the didache of scriptures, right? There's a way you should explain scriptures. And a whole lot of people don't know that. And there's a way scriptures ought to be explained. And that is why a whole lot of people just have a mismatch of words. Their words are not consistent. I promised us we're going to look at spiritual growth next year, right? So when we look at spiritual growth, we discover that consistency is what best growth. Hallelujah. What best growth? Consistency in what you hear over time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. So a gathering when you hear discipleship, a gathering is intended. And the gathering that is intended is a physical gathering, not an online gathering. Hey, not an online gathering. Not a Facebook gathering, not an apostolic ministry in the social media. No. I hear me. Never fall for that. I'm saying this because in the coming years, you begin to see things like that. But never fall for that. When Jesus said, go make disciples. Disciples are made physically. I hear them, not over the internet. I was telling someone, you can never serve God in convenience. See, whenever you think, I just love how service is now going. I'm serving God conveniently. Oh, just talk to him and talk to me. There was no over online. Just send God a tweet. Are you okay? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, man, okay. You can serve God in convenience. The man who delivered this gospel to us still deliver it to us in convenience. Are you hearing me? Oh, it's a teaching for another day. Hallelujah. Why going into this? Hallelujah. So, we said, so, scriptures, how scriptures are communicated is also what should be taught. Right? So, when a disciple is learning, one thing he's learning is how scriptures are communicated. And I know a lot of us have been getting to understand how scriptures are communicated even from the way we teach over time. Hallelujah. So something not to lose out is the fact that in 2 Timothy chapter 3 from verse 15 to 16, we saw something yesterday. It says, "And from childhood you've known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. The all scriptures given by the inspiration of God and submitted for doctrine, for reproof," it says, "for correction, epaphrosis, which is for strengthening, for putting the things back in order." Hallelujah. "For correction," say, "for instruction in righteousness, idea, and pursuit." Now, we saw yesterday that the teaching of the word is to bend spiritual growth, right? It's to bring about spiritual growth, which implies ministry in view, right? So spiritual growth will come from scriptures well explained. That's what I'm trying to drive at. When scriptures are well explained, then you find spiritual growth. When scriptures are not well explained, you You will not find spiritual growth. You will find gaps in people's spiritual growth. Gaps.
There's something that those things do. A dear man of God will say, half baked truth is worse than a lie. If you have big truth, will make a believer become false. Have big truth. Have big truth. It's dangerous. It's worse than a lie. Hallelujah. So that is why what best spiritual growth is scripture well explained. So that is why Paul will say all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. That word doctrine there is not didache, but actually it's profitable for didaskalia, which is explanation. Proper explanation. Are you hearing me? So that explanation will now bring forth. That is why Paul now uses the word prose. That word prose, that is what you have for reproof. Prose means in view of. Meaning didaskalia will bring about reproof. Reproof will bring about correction, epatnosis. Epatnosis will bring about paideia and diakosune, which is your spiritual growth. Are you following that? Hallelujah. Scripture well explained. So, I will say scripture here. When we say all scripture, it refers to what? Genesis into what? Malachi. Right? Old Testament books. So, because we said that was what was available at that point. There was no Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. All the other scripture was Genesis to Malachi. Hallelujah. So, what can we then see? Can we say spiritual growth? Because what will be explained will be Genesis to Malachi. Can we say spiritual growth, therefore, can be found in the Old Testament books? Yes. Now you hear me? You know, there are a lot of people who don't like Old Testament books. The Old Testament is gone. That is the problem with outdated truth. But yet, the people that tell you, all is gone. Jesus said it is finished. They don't want to understand what they mean by it is finished. It is finished. The old is gone. New has come. But yet, they also tell you to do first fruit, or go to good. They want to tell you tight. They say, Malachi. Right? Say, where is your Isaac? I thought you said, oh, this God. I thought you are cutting it. Because they will not find a place to hold it in the New Testament. But they will go back to the old. The old is not actually gone. Hallelujah. The old is not actually gone. In fact, as we get to study, as we continue our study in the coming years, you get to see that what you even call Old Testament is not actually Old Testament. It is not that what is actually Old Testament is the heart of the man who doesn't believe. That is the Old Testament. Hallelujah. Remember, it was here that I taught us that the New Testament, what we call New Testament, was before the Old Testament, right? Right? I've taught us that, right? And the New Testament came before the Old Testament. The Old Testament is because of the rejection of the New Testament. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Just very simple. And then he said, so that's true. That is just it. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. What is the New Testament? The Testament of the Spirit. Right? We've got a hit. Let's not go into it. Oh, thank you, Lord. Can I say as you, right? And now it's full of the word. Let's see, let's continue. Amen. But it's just very important. You begin to see that. So where will you find spiritual growth? In the Old Testament. Where did Jesus teach from?
Old Testament.
Beginning at Moses, Genesis, and all the prophets, Malachi.
Oh,
it's Old Testament he taught from. I thought he's gone. I thought when he was on the cross, he said it is finished. How come when he was elevated, he quoted, begin at Moses and not the prophet?
Aha.
It's not that gone. I thought it's gone. In Acts 2, Peter quoted
David. After he got that Moses. I thought it's gone. No, it's not actually gone. So what is it of it is finished? Wait, you understand.
Amen. Amen.
Glory to God.
We get to explore those truths shortly. Hallelujah. So spiritual growth to be found in the Old Testament scripture. We'll get to see that soon. Hallelujah. In Romans 16, where we saw yesterday, Romans 16, let's quickly run down there. Romans 16, 25. I introduced us to it, but we had, so let's now start, looking at it. Verse 25. Look at what Paul said. He says, now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel. Now look at what he said, according to my gospel. When he said according to my gospel, what does he want? Where does he want your heart to go to? He wants your heart to go to Romans chapter 1, verse 1. He calls it the gospel of God, which he promised afore. Right? Right? Through his words, prophets. Are you following that? Amen. Amen. So he calls it according to my gospel. What is his gospel? That word "and" it is not two things. It's the explanation of what he calls his gospel. Hallelujah. So we can read that now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel, which is the preaching of Jesus Christ. Did you see that? Hallelujah. According to the revelation. Now, when it says according to the revelation, that word there is according to the apocalypse of the mysterion kept secret. That word secret there means kept in low tone since the world began. Are you following that? What is he referring to? He says that his gospel is the preaching of Jesus Christ, right? Which is according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began. What was he referring to? He's referring to the Old Testament books. The moment you hear since the world began, what comes to your mind? Genesis comes to mind. He calls it the mystery that was kept secret since the world began. He was talking about Genesis down to Malachi. Are you following that? So, Paul calls Genesis to Malachi. He referred to it as mysteries. What we will call today the Old Testament books. Very soon we will get a new name for that. Hallelujah. But Old Testament books as of now. Hallelujah. He calls it mysteries. Amen. Amen. Where is Paul borrowing these things from? How or where, at what point, or where did Paul know that Genesis to Malachi is called mysteries? He must have heard it from the sermons that was told him concerning Jesus. He was actually reading from the narratives of Jesus. Hallelujah. In Luke chapter 8, verse 10, look at what Jesus called the Old Testament book. Luke 8, 10. We'll start from verse 9. And the disciples asked him, say, what does this parable mean? And he said, to you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to them it is given in parables. Did you see that? Take note of that. To you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to them it is given in what? Parables. Underline that in your Bible. That were parables. We'll get to see that shortly. Hallelujah. That seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Hallelujah. He told them, to you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. What does he call mysteries?
Now, he used the word, but to them it is given parables. I'll shed a little light on that, and then we'll see that shortly too. Now, when he uses the word parables, is the Greek word paraboli. Paraboli. Now, remember I've told you why we use Greek word? It's so that, you know, most times, the import of these words, when being translated to English, it loses its its real meaning. Hallelujah. Because of how grammar has evolved. So most times we go back to the original words that will get the real import of what the writer was trying to say. When he said parable, I know in school, I remember those yellow books.
CRK, they taught us that parable, so what is parable? Parables are earthly words that have heavenly meaning. So funny.
Hallelujah. They say, I'm still a good student. I still remember what they taught me in Sunday school. I'm not a good student. I'm a good student. Hallelujah. Clap for me. Amen.
Parables. Earthly words that have heavenly meaning. Very funny. But it's not true. Did you see? Now, if I tell you the meaning of parables, you will now see that that definition that they gave has actually made it lose its meaning. Now, parables is from the Greek word parabole. It's from the two words para and bole, or where you have the word why do you know this thing? No. Somebody else called it there. Yeah, thank you. I was about missing that. It's off my notes, you know. Now, it's where you have the word para and what do you call it? Yeah, balo. Where you have for balo, like where you have yupa balo. Did you understand? Now, para means to put alongside. To put alongside. Balo means to cast. Do you understand? When you cast something. So when I use the word yupa balo, means to cast beyond the goalpost or to cast beyond the boundary. Do you understand? So when you say parabole, parabole, it means to cast alongside. Do you understand me? To cast alongside. That's not the word parabole. To cast alongside. Meaning, what does it mean? I'm telling you something. A parable is like, I am casting it alongside so that you will get to understand what I'm trying to say. That is a parable. Do you understand me? It has nothing to do with heavenly meaning. It's just what I said that and then I had to bring in something else so that you would understand. Do you understand me? So now, Jesus said to his disciples, he said to them, to you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to them it is not. It is given, what is given to them is what? Parables. I want to understand that. So what would you think you'll be talking about? He'll be talking about the Old Testament books. So Jesus also, every time Jesus gives a parable, he's given a parable because he's explained. Remember I told you all Jesus explained in his incarnation up until his resurrection was from where? Genesis to Malachi. Luke 24:44. He said, these are the words I spoke to you while I was still with you. All things will be fulfilled, written in the law of Moses, in the Psalms and the prophets concerning me. So meaning all what he taught there was from the scriptures. Are you hearing me? So when he now calls parables, so his parables, every parable of Jesus Christ, we are going there again. Every parable of Jesus Christ is an explanation of Old Testament books. And when we get to discuss parables, you see that every of his parables were explanations. Are you hearing me? Every of Jesus' parables were explanations. So Jesus calls the Old Testament books two words, mysteries. Hallelujah. Mysteries. You'll find out what mysteries used in Ephesians 3:4. Let's look at Paul again in Ephesians 3:4. Ephesians 3:4. It says, by which, when you read, I'll start from verse 3. Are you with me? Are you following? Ephesians 3, verse 2 right now. I'm going further. It says, indeed, if you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which has given me for you. Verse 3. How that by revelation, watch this. I know we've done this study during GPLR, right? How that by revelation, he made known to me the mysteries as I've written already. He made known to me the mysteries that I've written already. Look at what he said. He said, by which when you read, he's talking about his epistles. That you, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mysteries of Christ. How do we know he's talking about the Old Testament book? Look at verse 5. In which in other ages, will it be Genesis to Malachi? Yes. You see that? Was not made known to the sons of men, as it now been revealed by the Spirit to his own holy apostles and prophets. Are you following that? In other ages, you'll be referring to who? Genesis to Malachi. Are you following that? Hallelujah. So, I've shown you now what the Old Testament books are referred to as mysteries. Mysteries. So, most often than none, okay, let's say most often in scriptures, when the word mysteries is used, I told us that before, it's always or many times is in reference to what? Old Testament books, with exception to 1 Corinthians 14. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 14, when we talk about speaking in tongues, it speaks mysteries. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But we are getting there. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're getting there to see what is that mystery. But every other time, apart from 1 Corinthians 14, when it talks about mysteries, it's referring to the Old Testament book. So the Old Testament book are called mysteries. Hallelujah. That's the word mysterion in the Greek. That word mysterion means to keep something secret, to keep something, to hide something. Hallelujah. Is the word mysterion. That word, for you to further understand what mysterion is, you have to look at what the root word is. Now the root word for mysterion is the word M-U-O, mo. It's a word that implies what needs explanation. To explain. It's on the word mo in the Greek, which means what? To explain. So, what that shows you is the fact that mysterion implies something that is kept in the dark, or something that is hidden, that is in need of explanation. Hallelujah. 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 And we've seen that it is not God that hides the scriptures. Right? God does not hide scripture. The Bible says he is light and within there is no shadow of darkness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Or there's no darkness at all, sorry. So God is light and there's no darkness in him. So, I want you to have that. So, we think God that hides the scripture, is not God that hides the scriptures. God doesn't hide the scriptures. No. Someone say, someone told me this, it is the character of God to consider it. I said, no, we don't explain that to you. When I explain it to you, people are like, wow. God doesn't hide scriptures. Hallelujah. So, what hides scriptures? Unbelief. Hides scriptures. Unbelief. When Jesus spoke to them, explained scriptures to them, what happened? The Bible says, and he opened he their understanding, that they might comprehend the scripture. So Jesus didn't do anything to the scripture, he only explained it to them. Are you following me? So what has been hiding it to them? Their understanding. Because even in that Old Testament, what we call Old Testament, people believed. Abraham believed. Isaac believed. Moses believed. I hear me. David believed. It's not the same thing that they had that others too had. It's the same thing. Hallelujah. It's the same message that they had. But what happened? Unbelief hides the scriptures. Hallelujah. We've done that study before, so you can get lay hold on those materials you have. Yes, understanding the gospel 2A. You have it there. We've done that study. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But something to really point out is that the Bible, or scriptures rather, take note of this. Scriptures wasn't referred to as mysterious. There's a difference. The word mystery is not the same thing with the word mysterious. So scriptures are not mysterious. Scripture is only called mystery, which is Genesis to Malachi. When you say something is mysterious, it implies it cannot be understood. But mystery implies the explanation of what is kept secret. Now, when Paul uses the word secret, revelation of what is kept secret in Romans 16 verse 25, when you use that word secret, it means to be kept in low tone. Are you hearing me? Meaning it was downplayed. Glory to God. As we get into GPLR, most of these things will be further explained again to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But if we look at what Paul taught, Paul will refer to his epistle from Ephesians 3 verse 4. Look at that as well. We are Ephesians 3 verse 4. He calls his epistle. He says, by which when you read, you understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Verse 3 says, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, and I have briefly written already. So Paul will call his epistles, and every other epistle he will call it what? Revelation. Let's go to that Ephesians 3 again. Verses 3. He says, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery as I've written already. As I've written already, will that be his epistles?
Yes.
Did you get that? By which when you read, did you see that word when you read? That the word anaginosko, to read carefully. You may understand my knowledge in the mysterion of Christ, which is my knowledge in the scriptures. Hallelujah. Verse 5. Which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. That word is holy apostles who are prophets. That is the word, Euros Apostolos Kai Prophetikon. That's the word that means, apostles, holy apostles who are his mouthpiece. Genesis, he called the apostles. When he talks about holy, he uses the word heroes, apostolos, kai prophetikon. Now, when he uses that word, heroes, apostolos, he was referring to the 12, the foundational apostle. I want you to get that. So he calls them, and they are the only apostles that are called apostolos kai prophetikon. He calls them like that because they had his mouthpiece. As we begin to study into GPLR, a lot of things we are doing today is to actually help us as we get to see some other fruits, and we will further expand on this. Hallelujah. Now, I wanted to get this very well because these are foundational. Now, the apostles, and it will help your scriptural meditation. Now, the apostles, now when you said holy apostles, was referring to the 12, the foundational apostles. Are you following me? And he calls them God's mouthpiece in his days. That's the word, and prophet. He's not saying he was referring to all the prophets and apostles. No, he was referring to those 12. So it's those 12 that are called apostolos kai prophetikon. Jonathan, they are his mouthpiece in that day. I mean, in those days. Are you hearing me? So, listen to this. He's now telling you that the duty of the apostles is to explain scripture. Which scripture? Genesis to Malachi. If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul says, as a wise master builder, say, I have laid the foundation. Do you understand me? He said, let others take heed how they build. So Paul tells you, see, the apostles' role. That is why Jesus chose 12. Go to look at that for GBLR. Why did Jesus choose 12? Jesus chose 12 for a reason.
Hallelujah. And their reason, part of what they will do is that they are, first of all, they are to make, they are to be witnesses of him. Hallelujah. Witnesses of him, that we are disciples of the apostles. Hallelujah. Are you following? Are you following? So they are to be witnesses of him, and their role is to explain scriptures as Christ has explained. That's why in Acts 2:42, he said, you see that they, which is the 3,000 brethren, what did they do? Say they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in their mode of explaining scriptures. Are you hearing me? So they did not start explaining scriptures their own way. No, we are not given that right to. You can only explain the way the apostles have explained. Are you following me? Amen. So what is now your role? Look at that verse 4. It said, by which, when you read. Did you see that? He didn't say by which, when you explain scriptures. No. Say by which, when you read. That word read there is the Greek word anagenosko. Now what ana means to go through again. Genosko means the act of reading, comprehending. So what Paul is saying is that this, what your role in scriptural interpretation is to read what has been explained. Are you following me? So my role in, so there's nothing like my own revelation. No. Now say I have a revelation that is bigger than that of Paul. You have gone awry. You have missed the mark. You have gone asunder. Because your revelation must be in line with Paul's revelation. Your revelation should be read what Paul has explained. Are you hearing me? Amen. I must stay within the boundaries of what the apostles have written down. Say, by which when you read. So that is my role. My role is to read. That's what Anna means, to read again. To read again. Read well. Hallelujah. In Colossians chapter 4, quickly. Is that word anagenos again? Colossians 4. Are you there? Verse 16. He writes and tells them. He said, when this epistle is read among you. Did you see that? Did you see that? What is read? When this epistle is read amongst you. See that it is read in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you may likewise read the epistles of the Laodiceans. Did you see that? So what is our role to do? To read. Anagenos. To read it well. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you following me? And you explain the way they've explained to us. Glory to God. Glory to God. So this is why. So when he uses the word revelation, you know, Paul has referred to the epistles as revelation, the writings of the apostles. He referred to it as revelation. Now when you use the word revelation, is the word apocalypsis. Apocalypsis. It's from a compound word of calypsis and alpha. Alpha calypsis. Alpha means negative, right? Right? Alpha, it means negative. Are you just knowing that today? Hallelujah. Alpha means negative. So, calypsis means to cover. To cover. So, when you hear alpha calypsis, what is the negative of to cover? To uncover. Hallelujah. Are you following that? Glory to God. Calypsis, I mean apocalypsis, means to make clear. So the epistles are the explanations of the Old Testament books. So we can say the epistles are the Old Testament explained. Hallelujah. The epistles are the Old Testament explained. Glory to God. Glory to God. So the epistles are the Old Testament explained. Glory to God. Another, and I did not tell you
any other thing. Don't reverse it. Don't look at it from another light.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So, we looked at 2 Timothy chapter 3, when it calls the scriptures are profitable for doctrine, right? Look at verses 10. Before I get to verses 15, look at what Paul said to Timothy in verses 10. Are you there? He says, "You have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance. You have carefully followed." Did you see that? My doctrine. That's the word, the didascalia, meaning my explanation. Hallelujah. So, you have carefully followed my doctrine. Meaning, Paul said Timothy has followed his teaching. This will imply, when he now gets to verses, and I said, you have known the Holy Scripture. Will it be Paul's explanation of this of the Old Testament books? Yes. Did you see that? When I say you have known the Holy Scripture, why not say you have gone there and you have started seeing mysteries? No. You have gone there and you have explained it in the light of how I have explained it. Are you following that?
Amen. Unlike, there's a brother like that one of our pastors just told me what he was doing.
So I just, let me just say this brother my own self.
So I went ahead one day, I didn't even talk about it to him. I was studying somewhere and he came to meet me. I said, man of God, I've been right here, I've been on Genesis chapter 1 into Genesis chapter 3 for years. He said, if you see the kind of mysteries, he said, if I never would have not been able to comprehend these mysteries, when I open, I don't see mysteries. Mysteries about marriage, how a husband and wife should be. I said, wow. Wow, my God, I really see mysteries. He said, yeah. He said, this mystery. No boy, I'm like, ah. Oh God, how can I help you?
Then there are some conditions you can't help some people with. But if you want to talk, look at if you are jealous of their revelation. So you are not there to enjoy the euphoria of their concept.
Amen. But how can I help you? Amen. Let's continue. Glory to God. And he was writing one big note. He kept writing notes. See, when I release this book, my heart, I said, I will not buy. I'd rather use the money to go and buy Understanding Thou What Thou Readest, Volume 5, when it comes.
Hallelujah. Can I go and buy how to have a successful marriage from Genesis 1, Genesis 2? I am not yet done or anything.
That mysteries to take me to hell. Amen. Okay, let's go to your bag. So, what is implied is that spiritual growth can be found in the Old Testament book explained in the light of the epistles.
Remember, I told you we're going to get back to that. Since the epistles are the Old Testament explained. So we can say spiritual growth can be found in the epistles. Well explained, right? Was that what we said? I mean, since spiritual growth can be found in the scriptures well explained, right? Right? So now we are expanding our narrative of scriptures well explained.
Right? So Rezunambi, spiritual growth can be found in the Old Testament books explained in the light of the epistles. So, meaning my explanation of the Old Testament books
should be on how it is explained in the epistles. So, a wise Bible student, like as I told you on Sunday, I want to expound it again. A wise Bible student will know where to be silent and where not to be silent. So, when the epistles are quiet, you are what? Where they are loud, you are what?
Loud.
Be wise.
Are you following me? Are you following me? Why? Because that is the explanation we have. And where would the epistles explain from? Who would they have seen explained that way? Jesus.
So you find that when the epistles are loud, is when Jesus is loud. When Jesus is quiet, the epistles are quiet. Are you following that? When we looked at the communion table, you saw that it was how Jesus explained the communion table. That is how Paul explained it. There will be no mismatch. Are you following that? As a child, you are loud when the epistles are loud. And you are quiet when they are quiet. You are low tone when they are on low tone. Don't just walk into and say, yes! Psalm 23. When you say, the Lord is my shepherd, you know what it means. Oh, I got the revelation from this.
No. You must explain Psalm 23 in the light of how it is explained in the epistles.
Are you following me?
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. So let's just look at some things. So that will now lead us to what we are teaching or what we have been experiencing yesterday. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. So when it says all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth, right? We said something yesterday that is very, very vital in our study. And we said in the resurrection, we now have legal rights, right? To use the name or the authority of Christ, right? Right? Was that what we said? We said the authority of Christ is in the believer, right? And we said that authority of Christ is what we call the believer's authority. So let's consider that verse 18 very well. Jesus came and said to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. He used the word heaven and on earth. Just like Moses, Jesus will use figure of speech. Just like Moses, Jesus will use what? Figure of speech. To explain God's work in the earth. And why will he do so? It will be because of the hardness of their heart. Do you see that? So, maybe if I go to the Old Testament books, I will see a lot of figure of speech. And that is why, it will be referred to as what? Mysteries. Because they have a whole lot of figure of speech. And why is the figure of speech? The hardness of their heart. We're going to see that shortly. Psalm 78. Psalm 70. Let's see. Look at what the psalmist wrote and said. He said, from verse 1, he said, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parables. Did you see that the psalmist is saying? He said, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter that sayings of old. When you use the word of old, it tells you, of old will reply what? Genesis. You see that? Hallelujah. It says, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. So it tells you that most of what you will find in the Old Testament writings will be what? Dark sayings, parables. That word dark sayings in the Greek, in the Hebrew, it implies riddles. You see a lot of riddles. You see a lot of parables. So the riddles, when you hear riddles, you have the figure of speech and every other word. Hallelujah. Jesus will repeat the same word in Matthew 13. Matthew 13. I want you to follow me now. I'm going to be a bit fast. In Matthew 13, verses 34. All these things Jesus spoke to the multitude in parables. And without a parable, he did not speak to them. He spoke to who in parables? The multitude. Why? That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. Spoken by the prophet. Who did he call prophet? David. Did you see that? I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things kept secret from the foundations of the world. Did you see that? I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things kept secret from the foundations of the world. Foundations of the world will be from where? Genesis. So what will you find there? Parables. Are you following that? They came to meet Jesus in chapter 19 of that same Matthew. Look at what they came to meet him. Verses 4. Verses 3, let me start. And the Pharisees came to him, testing him, and saying to him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for not just any reason? You see that? And he just answered and said to them, have you not read that he who made them in the beginning made them male and female? And he said, for this reason shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then, they are no longer two but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. Put asunder or separate. Hope you understand what this means. Not so. We've done this explanation. Verse 7. And they said to him, why did Moses then give a certificate of divorce? Did you see that? I want you to look at this. He said, why did Moses give a certificate of divorce and said to the man that he should put away his wife? Did you see that? And to put her away. Verse 8. And Jesus said, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart. Now, Jesus is explaining why, you know, they came to meet him. Should a man divorce his wife for any just reason? Jesus said, quoted Genesis chapter 1. He said, he made them male and female from the beginning. He now quoted chapter 2. Shall a man leave his husband shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife? He's explaining scriptures. But we didn't see Adam leave father and mother. So he tells you that marriage, Jesus is explaining, it's not Adam. They asked him of physical marriage, and Jesus is talking about the marriage. Are you following me? The marriage. David, that, you know, with confusion, but he now quoted Deuteronomy. But Moses said we should give her a certificate of divorce. I want to understand how scriptures are written. Jesus now said, now replied there, say, Moses gave you that because of the hardness of your heart. Meaning, what Jesus is trying to say is that certificate he gave to you was symbolic. Do you understand? And he gave it to you because of the hardness of your heart to show you that God doesn't put away, it is man that puts away. Do you understand? And he was not talking about, in all this, he was not referring to physical marriage. So he gives you a certificate of divorce to show you that it is man that will put that puts away. But it is man that rejects the marriage of God. Are you following that? Are you following that? He said, Moses, because of the hardness of the heart. So, what did he point? He said, Moses, because of the hardness. Now, when you use that word hardness of heart, in the Greek is the word sclerocardia. Sclerocardia in the Greek. I wanted to see that quickly. Hallelujah. A word that will be used for unbelief in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 15. Sclero. Hebrews 3:15. Said, do not harden your heart like in the days of unbelief. You see that? A word that is used for unbelief. Follow that scripture very well. Unbelief. So, what Jesus is telling them is that Moses gave you a certificate of divorce because of unbelief. Are you following that? Are you following that? Unbelief. So, meaning, when you get to the scriptures and you see a whole lot of figure of speech is because of their unbelief. So Moses will now give them a symbol, a figure of speech, a parable so that they will understand. See, when Moses gave them that certificate of divorce, he will tell them that, see, God does not put away, but it's man that will reject this marriage. Are you following that? So you find a lot of symbols. All those symbols are to help them explain what this one I've been saying from Genesis 1, 2, 3. The marriage of God. Are you following me? Because Genesis was written to them while they were leaving Egypt. That was when Genesis was written. While they were leaving Egypt and in the wilderness. So, within
between Egypt and the wilderness. While they were in the wilderness, after they left Egypt, rather, what was when Genesis was written to them? Are you following me? Was it just to show them this is God's promise of eternal salvation? But because of their unbelief, Exodus chapter 6, they did not believe Moses and what he told them. All what he told them about Genesis, they didn't believe. So Moses began to give them symbols. I follow him. Glory to God. So Moses spoke to them, they didn't believe. So Moses will now write to them Genesis. So why Moses is writing to them Genesis? You must have in your mind that the set of people Moses is writing Genesis to has rejected what Moses has said in Exodus chapter 6, verses 9 into 11. They've rejected, I mean, verses 6 into 11. They've rejected. They said they did not believe. So when Moses will now be writing to them Genesis, will now be writing heaven and earth. Why would he be writing heaven and earth? To see that God is going to be with you. Are you seeing that? So why is he writing that? He's prefiguring it that they will see parabole cast alongside the message. It's a message, and a parable is put alongside the message. Are you following that? Amen. Amen. Okay. So when he says heaven and earth, he will be borrowing Moses' word. Genesis chapter. Are you following that? He will be borrowing Moses' words. Glory to God. So when he says heaven and earth, he expects that you've read heaven and earth in the context of what Matthew. Matthew expects you have read what he has said concerning heaven and earth before now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So before we get to look at how Matthew used the word heaven and earth, let's consider when it was first used by Moses. How did Moses use heaven and earth? Right? Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created what? The heaven and the earth. Did you see heaven and earth there? Hallelujah. So before we get to see what does Moses mean by heaven and earth, when he wrote heaven and earth, let's see how Moses uses the word heaven. And we'll call it, we'll round up this section with how Moses uses the word heaven. And then we'll continue from section 2. I mean from the next section. Hallelujah. Heaven. Heaven in the Hebrew is the word sumay. Sumay. S-U-M-A-Y. Sumay. In the Hebrew. Are you in Genesis chapter 1? Because we'll have a whole lot to see. Genesis 1. Make sure your Bible is in Genesis 1. Hallelujah. Look at verses 8. And God called the firmament heaven. He called the firmament what? Heaven. Are you following me? He called the firmament heaven. The firmament will be the skies. I hear them in the sky. He called it heaven. And so the evening and the morning were the second day. Verse 9. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together in one place. And let the dry land appear. And it was so. Are you following that? So, look at verses 14. God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let it be for a sign and season and for days and for years. I want you to follow how he uses the words here. Verses 16. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also. I've heard somebody explain this one time, man. Wonderful explanation from the wrong perspective. Hallelujah. Verse 17. God set them in the firmament of the heaven, and to give light on the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from darkness. And God saw it was good. Hallelujah. From how we've seen heaven used here, how do you think Moses is using heaven? He uses heaven for the skies. Somewhere used for what is distant from the earth, but they are in the same place. You see how Moses is using heaven here? Use it for the firmament, right? Under the heaven. Use it for where it's distant from the earth, but they are in the same place. Are you seeing that? How Moses uses the word heaven? You have to pay attention to how Moses is using it.
Because it's how Moses uses the word heaven that you know what he meant by heaven and earth. Are you following that? Look at verses 26. To follow me critically. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the cattle, over the all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And when we use the word air, the birds of the air, that is the word sume. We call it the bird of the heaven. Sume. Hallelujah. It's used for the skies also. Where is where? Within the earth. Are you seeing it? So Moses used the word heaven is a word. Where is within the earth? You also find it in verse 28. And God blessed them. God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air. That air word, air again, is the word what? Sumi. Then I said, heaven. So where is the heaven? Within the earth. Are you seeing that? Are you seeing that? You find it in verse 30. You find it in chapter 2, verses 1. Thus the heaven and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. You see that? Verses 4. This is the history of the heaven. Listen, and the earth. When they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Did you see that? Before any plant of the field was in the earth, before any herb of the field has grown before the Lord, because the God had not caused it to rain on the earth, that no man should till the ground. He uses the word heaven again as somewhere that is not distant, that is not outside the earth. Hallelujah. Look at verses 19, chapter 2, 19. He said, and of the ground, the Lord formed the beast of the field and the birds of the air, Sumi. Birds of the air will be what? The birds in the sky. Hallelujah. So the heavens is used as somewhere not outside the earth. Are you seeing this? Amen. Look at chapter 6, verse 7. Chapter 6, verse 7. And see, looking at how Moses used the word heaven. So the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and the beast, creeping things and birds of the air. And birds of the air. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's not go further. Let's not overlook at this scripture, because I'll begin to give you exegesis. Hallelujah. Look at verse 17. And behold, I myself bringing flood waters on the earth to destroy from under the heaven all flesh, which is the bread of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. Because the heaven was somewhere not distant from the earth. Did you see that? Under the heaven. Under the heaven will be what? The skies. Did you see that? Eh? Are you following me? Glory to God. Glory to God. Chapter 7, verse 3. The same thing. He calls it, uses the word base of the earth. So it doesn't refer to outside the earth. Heaven is not referred to any place outside the earth. It's somewhere within the earth. You find also in Genesis 15, 5. And he brought him outside and said, look towards the heaven and count the stars. This is that, look towards the heavens. So he referred to what? The sky. They count the sky. So Moses' use of the word heaven is used to what? Somewhere within the earth. Are you seeing that? Are you seeing that? In Genesis 19:24, it's used for Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah. But as we go on, take note of this. We will get to look at Sodom and Gomorrah. When it says fire, brimstone and fire came from the heaven, from heaven, from the sky. He said it came from the sky. We're going to see the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah in this story. Hallelujah. What will happen to Sodom and Gomorrah? You get to know. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen.
We've also found it in Genesis 21:17, Genesis 22:11. Make sure you have that down.
Something you must always look at
as a writer, the fact that Jesus, from what we read yesterday, Jesus said something in John 5:45-47. Nobody has come to accuse you before the Father. There's no one who accuses you, even Moses in whom you trust. If you had believed Moses, you would have believed before he wrote concerning you. So if you cannot believe this, he said, if you don't believe Moses, how then can you believe my words? So meaning,
Moses will write facts about Christ. Never lose sight of that. Remember, we said that yesterday. Now, if I get to Genesis and I've seen something else apart from fact about Christ, I will lose the whole thing. Right?
Okay. Okay. So, and also we saw that all what they wrote, Luke 24:25-27, 44-45, we saw that they will write concerning him. Genesis to Malachi will be concerning Christ, right?
Or not the Christ who saw this and entered into his glory, and Moses and all the prophets expounded unto them in all the scripture the things concerning himself. So they will write concerning Christ.
So, but in writing concerning Christ, they will employ in their days, in their days, they use figure of speech very well.
Why would they use figure of speech? They use figure of speech to further explain where they cite unbelief, where they cite that people don't understand what they are writing. So the writers those days will bring in what figure of speech. So those figure of speech is to help buttress, just like in this part of our country. There is the only in Africa that will, the part of Nigeria that will hear stupid kind of proverbs.
Funny proverbs, useless proverbs.
But those proverbs are actually used to, proverbs are also called parables. Hope you know that. Proverbs are also called parables. So remember, just think about it. You watch African magic epic very well. You hear things like a toad does not run in the daytime for nothing. Whether it's something chasing for his chasing. Right? Now watch the way they use all those kind of funny proverbs. They are trying to explain, they are trying to tell you that this one that hears them more is coming out this time, something is wrong.
Are you following that?
But, you know, do not follow themselves. Now, when they give that proverb, so that you understand that something don't happen. Shall you understand? Are you following that?
So you have things like a man that carries his father up.
Glory to God. You know those kind of proverbs? Funny proverbs.
But it's just a child does not, that said a mother will not sleep. If they will have no sleep. You know what they're trying to say?
Glory to God. Things like a stubborn fly will always follow the corpse to the grave. You know what it means? You see that? What they tell you, even you that they are telling you, begin to arrange yourself.
It's so that you further. It's because they say you are not understanding what they are saying. So they will not give you proverbs so that you will concur. Amen. Amen. Okay. Glory to God. Glory to God. So the reason for the figure of speech is because of they don't understand, caused by what? Unbelief. So the writers will not bring in figure of speech. Jesus too will bring in figure of speech when he's talking to the Pharisees. Most of the why? Because they are unbelieving. Do you understand me?
Glory to God. Hallelujah. In Exodus chapter 9, verse 8, let's go down to Exodus 9, 8. I'm beginning to round off now. Exodus 9, 8. So the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, take for yourselves a handful of ashes and furnace, and let Moses scatter it towards the heavens in the sight of Pharaoh. Listen that. Say, let him scatter it towards the heavens.
Rather than he will go right to the earth. No. Scatter it towards the heavens, he will do like this. Right? Right?
So he didn't use it for anywhere outside the earth. 9:10. Look at verse 10. So they took ashes from the furnace and stood before Pharaoh and scattered them towards the heaven. Do you see that? Within the earth. Hallelujah.
Verse 22, the same thing that the Lord said to Moses, stretch your hands towards the heaven. Stretch your hands towards the heaven. So towards heaven will be what? The sky. Hallelujah. You find them too. Well, you find that too in Exodus 10:22 and Exodus 16:14.
In Exodus 17:14, something very important you need to see. Exodus 17:14.
Verse 14. He said, and the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in the books and the account in the hearing of Joshua, but I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalekites, of the Amalekites from under the heaven. I will blot out the Amalekites from under the heavens.
Question. Was it God that blotted out the Amalekites? Who did? Was it God?
Don't worry, as we begin to study more on the revelation of God, I said it's in the next 8 years, 8-10 years, we need to see some of these things come. But we start this year and start going further, deeper. In the revelation of God.
Hallelujah. Now begin to see that there are some things that I said this in last year. While I was teaching last year, I said it, but I didn't say it deep. I also said there are some things that are accounted that God sees that the Lord has. But if you don't start, but before you begin to get to know those things, because that is why we are doing all this set of teaching. So you need to understand this is the character of God. Now, I don't show you something. God said, I will totally destroy. In fact, I will tell you, God needs to understand the gospel truly. It's something I said. Yeah, when I listen to that message, I keep remembering,
I said, this is your telling God.
It's a foundation.
I said, when you listen to the message, listen to it well. I said some things.
In that message, I'm also in righteousness. Two kinds of righteousness, not the concept of righteousness. Two kinds of righteousness. Notice the two kinds of righteousness, the one concept of righteousness. God is the two kinds of righteousness. I said some things there.
Two kinds of righteousness. Let me tell you why I listen to our messages.
I listen to spiritual gifts. Two kinds of righteousness together. I know, and if we simply listen to spiritual gifts, or this method of spiritual gifts, I must do it, that two kinds of righteousness. Something I expected. I said something about prophecy in the Old Testament. In fact, if you are intelligent, very well, which you are, you need to know two things very well. I have already given you a soft landing to my teaching on the law and the prophet. Is there? But what that you need to be taught again and again for you to understand how the apostle was saying.
Hallelujah.
Well, whenever I listen to them, I'm let's blow on prophet here now.
Hallelujah. I said some things along this line. Let me just, for you that I have, I said some things along this line now. I was talking about revelation gifts. And I said some things like, there are a lot of thoughts said the Lord that when you get to the Old Testament and you see, you will now discover that it was actually meant speaking by the inspiration of God.
Let's continue.
Are you getting where I'm going to? Now, you will now be meant speaking of what would happen, but it will be thus said the Lord. And when they are now transcribing, you will now say, the Lord said, I will be saved. But it actually meant saying, like you are saying today, like you have the words of revelation to yourself, they are not saying, oh, this will happen and that will happen. I personally said, like me years back, thus said the Lord. It's called like the same. Actually, it is something that I will do. But God is now brought into the whole picture. To not make you look as if it is God that is doing it, but it's God in action that is counted for an action. But that's only man that will execute it. Do you understand? Just like God said, I will totally destroy the Amalekites. But that is not in the nature of God. Right?
in 1 Timothy 3, he says, what God desire? For all, 1 Timothy 2, 4, right? For all men to be saved. Does it include the Amalekite? Yes. But it is a prophecy given ahead of time to Joshua that the Amalekites will be totally destroyed. Or do you understand? It was made. I don't really understand. So, a revelation of a word was given ahead of time. This is what will happen to the Amalekites. They shall be totally destroyed. Who will do it? Man. Are you following me? When a prophet will give a prophecy and say, you shall be, I will lead you up, or he said, the Lord said he will give you up to captivity. You know, all the while, I will send this nation against you and they will take you to captivity. Right? And they will destroy them. Destroy them. But it's not what they did. You saw that they were actually led to captivity. But meaning you now have to learn to see. This was the prophecy. Who gave it? Was it inspired? It was inspired. Are you following me? Did it happen? Because it happened. It was inspired. But that word of prophecy, was God active? No. Are you following me? But God will be brought into it because it was a word of prophecy that will come to pass. Are you following that? Did you get that? Amen. Amen. You go and listen to that message. I have it there. So listen to those two together, you see. I said, well, after that, I didn't say it. Because there are series that you have to follow to begin to get to those things. They believe, Pastor said this thing one time. But most people will get to understand it maybe in the next 16 years. 20 years. That's it. Don't worry. Like that. Amen. Yes. A lot of things Jesus taught them while he was with them. So when they were resurrected, they need. And John will not say, I will need. If John will not write it in John 2, as though they need, John will say, no, it was when he resurrected, they need. And he spoke of the temple of himself. Hallelujah. Let's begin to round up. Exodus 24. You shall not make for yourself a carven image, any likeness of anything in heaven above or in the earth beneath. Heaven above, where? Heaven above, where? In the skies. Hallelujah. Heaven above. Anywhere. Don't make yourself the image. So, heaven is used of what is in the earth. Thus far, we've seen that Moses' heaven is used in an illustrative form, right? Is it using an illustrative form? So, as we progress, we will see that he will be using it to illustrate a greater truth. That word heaven, we need to illustrate a greater truth. Something not to lose sight of is that Moses never used heaven for anything or any place outside the earth. Moses never used heaven for any place outside the earth. If I never use heaven for a place where man will die, or where man will go to when they die, he never used it. He never used heaven for a place where dead people go to. Is this for someone that is inside the earth? Let me ask a question. Look up. It shock you. It shock you. Hey, no shock you. That's the truth. We just read Bible. Have you seen? And the guy that went to heaven. Did you see anything there? No. Glory to God. You know, most times then, when you have a theology, make sure you try to make sure you comfort your theology with the scriptures. Your beliefs about God. Comfort it with the scriptures. If it does not tell you what the scripture says, throw it away. It's nonsense. Are you hearing me? So Exodus 20:22 will stand out. Exodus 20:22 will stand out. How will it stand out? Let's see that as we ground on.
He says, then the Lord said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, you have seen that I have talked to you from heaven. You shall see that I have spoken to you from heaven. That one will stand out. So he said, hey, come on, go, you see, he spoke to him from heaven. No, calm down. As we progress into the next section, you will discover that, or if you get more clearer as you progress, that Moses will also refer to man's action or actions from the heart as heaven. Moses will refer to man's actions and actions from the heart as heaven. Moses will do that. So you see that I spoke to you from heaven, will be referring to I spoke to you from within. You get to see that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Have you learned something this afternoon? Are you sure you've learned something? Just lift up your hands and thank you.